Welcome to the Pope St. John the 23rd Vocation Podcast with Monsignor William Fay. Here at Pope St. John the 23rd Seminary, we realize it's never too late to respond to God's call. If you're a man 30 or older, discerning a possible call to the priesthood, or someone who supports these later vocations, this is the podcast for you.
My name is Monsignor Bill Fay, and I'm delighted to have with me today Michael Young, who is a fourth-year seminarian at Pope St. John the 23rd Seminary. My work is on the faculty to serve as a formation director, and I'm here today to talk with Michael a little bit about discernment. Michael, could you tell me, how is it that you came to realize, now that you're a deacon, that you actually had a vocation to the priesthood?
I think it starts at home with my family. I had parents. My mom later converted to Catholicism. My father was already a cradle Catholic. And even prior to my mom converting, she was still going to church. And my dad raised my brother, my sister, and myself. Saw to it, we were raised as Catholics. We didn't go to Catholic school, but we went to Catholic church. We went to CCD. We were active in the church. And I would say it begins right there with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a young priest, a Father Lopez. This was in the Archdiocese of Atlanta. And he would say, he was our soccer coach, and he would say, well, maybe one day you guys can be a priest like me. And I noticed Father Lopez always seemed, he was somewhat of a role model for us. But later, it would really come to fruition when I was in the Navy. We had a Catholic chaplain, and he was a priest from the Diocese of Owensboro, Kentucky, Father Richard Powers. And I could see the joy, not just in him being a Navy chaplain, but in his priesthood. And we'd have long talks. And I actually one day came to him during one of our talks, and I asked him about the possibility of a vocation. And I remember he said, let me pray on it and we'll talk about it next time. And the next time he told me, he said, you need to get a little bit more life experience and then look into it. And I think that was very, very good advice. I think if I would have coming out of the Navy, gone into it, I don't know if I would have lasted through a formation program.
The happiness or the joy that you saw in priests and the model that they were had a great influence on you.
Yes.
Good.
That's a big thing. And you can see it's almost as if their joy in being a priest, it's, how can you say it? You literally feel it when you're among them.
Exactly.
And it's definitely the Holy Spirit.
That's terrific. Did anybody ever say to you, Michael, have you ever thought about being a priest?
Oh, yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good. So there were people out there planting the idea, so it was part of you.
Yes, and I believe that was the Holy Spirit, no doubt.
Good, good. Did you ever think about it as a boy?
Oh, yes, when I had Father Lopez when I was little as our soccer coach. And just, you do think about it. When you see when you're young, and I'm thinking today now that I'm very close to becoming ordained as a priest now, how when you look up to the altar and you see the masses, and this was a time we were coming out of Vatican II and going to now, or we just, I guess, Pope St. Paul VI was still Pope, very much active, and there were a lot of changes. It was almost like still some of the old, some of the new. And I still just remember meeting with the priest after Mass and talking, and you really, they were ambassadors of Christ.
There was something attractive in them that really kind of drew you over time to see the beauty of it and your willingness to want to do it.
Yes.
What happened when you went to the Diocese of Venice? Once you start feeling, you need to be talking to priests about it, but you have to make a formal contact with a diocese or a religious community. What happened when you contacted the Diocese of Venice?
With Venice, it was your first contact is actually the bishop. You write him a letter. And then he called me, and we talked for well over an hour on the phone. And I guess at that point, he thought I was a candidate. And he said that the vocation director would be getting up with me. And sure enough, Father Sean Roser, the vocation director, he still is the vocation director for the diocese. He called me, and we set up a Zoom meeting. And the bishop and Father Sean spoke with me, and then they invited me to come to Florida to essentially volunteer in a parish for a while just so they could observe me. Mm-hmm. So this was still part of the process. And I can say, and I'm a former law enforcement officer, the entire process was just as, I don't want to say severe, but was very thorough.
Yeah.
Just like
yeah.
for the, because we still had the same amount of psychologicals to go through, mm-hmm. your biographies. Mm-hmm. And it was. It's a very, very distinct process. And I think that's a good thing because mm-hmm. there's some people you may not want to come into.
It's also confirming, isn't it? In other words, you go, they look you over pretty carefully. And at the end of it, if they're saying to you, we see something here, that's confirming, isn't it?
Very much so. Very yeah, much so.
That's good. Let me ask you this. I just noticed that you told me that you made a trip to Florida, which means that it doesn't sound like you were in Venice at the time that you were making contact with them.
Oh, no, no. I was actually at the time in South Carolina, and I had a connection with Venice because that's the area where my mom grew up.
Okay.
So I have cousins, family down there, and I spent mm-hmm. many a summer down there mm-hmm. growing up. Mm-hmm. So that was my connection, but that was... because I had actually looked at several other dioceses, mm-hmm. and that was the first one to actually get mm-hmm. back to me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you know, that's an interesting thing that we notice about older candidates to the priesthood is because of your life experience and having been in different places, the choice of which diocese, if you're going to become a diocesan priest, that you might go towards, is always something that takes a little bit of time to sort out.
Yes, yes it is. And that's something you want to give thought to as well.
Exactly, because you're making a commitment. You know, in a way, when you become a priest, you make the kind of commitment that people make in marriage, that you're going to join a diocese or a religious community, and it's going to take you through life. And you don't want to mischoose on that.
No, and that happens with some, I think, priests that I know of that... Mm-hmm. they were not happy in their surroundings, and it can undermine their vocation. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good thing.
Good, good. Well, it sounds as if you have settled into a place where you're really very happy. You've got a bishop who obviously is very happy with you. And having known you now for the time that you've been here at Pope St. John, you know, it's clear from the faculty that you're going to be a very, very fine and a good priest. And it's nice to see you heading into it with so much enthusiasm. If you were talking to a fellow who is just beginning the discernment process for himself in the sense that he's feeling this tug towards the Lord, but is wondering whether he should take the first step or not, what would you say?
First, he needs to pray on it. I would tell him, pray. Mm-hmm. Next, to get a good spiritual advisor. I think that's very important, whether it's a good pastor at his parish, or sometimes they can recommend people to you, mm-hmm. but you are not in this by yourself. Mm-hmm. And just as you've said, all along the way, people are giving you positive reinforcement. But you do want to get somebody that can really guide you. Mm-hmm. That's very important.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the idea that a man's spiritual director should be his confessor as well? Do you have any thoughts about that?
I think it depends on the person's personality
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes... some people go to confession, they still like the old style.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I am. I'd like to go to, we have a parish downtown Boston,
mm-hmm.
St. Anthony's Shrine.
Exactly.
And I like that old style because that's how I was trained, that's how I was formed.
That's how you know it.
And I'm always comfortable with my spiritual director here as well, but I guess all these years, that's just the way I was formed.
Yep.
I'm very comfortable in that.
Yep.
Yet I have confessed before on occasion
sure.
to a spiritual
sure.
director.
The reason I raised the question is, there's something wonderful in life about having someone who knows you that well that you can just be yourself. And I guess the encouragement that I might add to yours is, if it were possible for someone to think about having a spiritual director who's also a confessor, that would be another confirmation too, because if you let someone see you as fully as you are, with all the good and all the little warts too, and that person saying, keep moving on. I think you've got a solid vocation here. That's a good opportunity for a guy to have a really good confirmation.
Yes.
I see another confirmation here too, and that is the seminary. So you've got the diocese that says yes to you, you have your spiritual director who's saying yes to you, and you've got the formational faculty of the seminary who deal with you in an open and external kind of way, saying to you, what we've seen over these years now is really full of gifts that you need to go out now and bring to the priesthood. And my hope would be that as you're finishing your time here, that that's something that you're experiencing as well.
Oh, yes. A key is humility. you have got to realize sometimes if they're getting on you, it's not like a drill instructor. They're getting on you trying to correct you, but correct you in a very divine way, and it's very well the Holy Spirit working through them to do it. So you do, and that's what I've seen even with my brothers in Christ here, my brother seminarians, I should say, that is something we all work on is our humility. That's one of the hardest things to me, in a way. That's harder than the celibacy issue, because I've been in this, I guess, under formation for quite a while. And sometimes that humility issue, because it is a challenge when you have been on your own and you've been in certain jobs. And to me, that's one of the hard, the obedience and the humility aspect of it is very much. But you've got to surrender to that and realize they aren't complaining about you. They aren't trying to derail you. They're trying to help you. And that's just how the Holy Spirit works.
And you couldn't be more truer than what you just said. It's not by accident that the first New Testament text that the church gives us clerics every single week to pray in the breviary is that passage from Philippians 2. Though he was in the form of God, Jesus didn't grasp at it, but he let himself go. And in doing that, he became glorified. And that's what our glorification ultimately is going to be all about. Do we give ourselves completely to God? Michael, I'm taken by the number of ways in which your discernment that God is calling you to be a priest has been confirmed. And it strikes me that the experiences that you had in the pastoral ministry, the experiences that the seminary asked you to engage in, were things that helped you to see that there was something really true and genuine about this vocation. Could you talk about that for a little bit?
Yes. Here in the ministries we're assigned are very challenging, but they're building you, and it's a great part to your formation. And I had been a retired law enforcement officer. So for one year while I was here, they assigned me to prison ministry. And that turned out to be very, very powerful because it reinforced my call. See, being a police officer, officers can be very cynical after years on the job. And the staff here recognized that, and they said, we need to send him into prison ministry because he needs to look at people in prison, people he had arrested, people like that, from a different view. He needs to see him from a pastoral lens. And that's exactly what happened. And I came into this prison, and it was amazing. I learned from them. I learned from these men in this prison. By the way, the prison is actually nearby our seminary, and it's almost like a city. It's Shirley Medium. It's a medium security prison in Shirley, Massachusetts. And it's, again, I say it's like a city. They have a hospital there. And you're going not just into a prison like you would think. You go into the library where a lot of the, we don't like to call them inmates. We call them residents. Residents are there. And you talk. You strike up conversations with them on all kinds of subjects. Then you go into other areas in the prison. But one of the most powerful was the prison hospital. There's a fairly large hospital there. And you have men dying of AIDS who've been raped in prison. You have other men dying. And you get this perspective. And you're just stopped by their faithfulness. And you, I was thinking, some of these men, I'm thinking, my gosh, their faith is beyond mine. It's amazing. And one day I remember we were doing a communion service, and I noticed quite a few of the men who I already had a rapport with did not go up for communion. And afterwards, you know, I said, oh, are you guys okay? And they said, no, we've kind of committed some sins, and they didn't, you know, it wasn't my business, but, and we just can't go up there till we go to confession. Well, I thought to myself, you know, in a lot of parishes, everybody goes whether they're not. These men are trying to really live their faith. And in the prison environment, they're really trying to live it out. And that was frustrating for them, too, because it's sometimes hard to get priests to come into the prisons to hear confessions. But another beautiful aspect was that a former student here who had gone on to be a priest was back visiting, and he had done his there. And we arranged for him to come out there and spend the day hearing confessions. And it was just beautiful. It was like a beautiful reunion when he returned. And I learned a lot about myself in that. I learned a lot about others. And it does show you every human being has a dignity. And I don't care what they've done, who they are. we cannot abuse another human being's dignity. And that even went to the older men who had once been pretty wild and violent had come around through our Catholic faith. Mm-hmm. And they were very watchful, like shepherds, of the younger men coming in, trying to keep them out of the gangs and trying to do it. And they truly were shepherds, these men.
That's
so
right.
It was just watching that and watching the love they had for the new men was amazing.
And the insights that you gain just by having that experience and realizing that something is fitting here. I belong in a place like this. I can bring Christ into a situation like this is just a lovely confirmation of a vocation.
Yes. And so, a lot of those men, they brought Christ to me too. They taught me a lot. Yeah. I learned a lot in that ministry. Yeah. It was amazing.
No, that's sometimes the priesthood to some people could seem like such a lofty thing that I'm not worthy of it. But we need to have these life experiences to see that God has his own way of confirming within us, don't be surprised, this is what I've always intended for you, and I'm finally getting you there.
Yes.
With that, I want to thank you very much for being as candid and as full. I hope that this podcast is something that is very helpful to men who are discerning the priesthood. I hope it's also something that's very helpful to those of you who do not have a call to the priesthood, but are interested in having more priests. I'd like to encourage you, if you would, to be kind enough to say to a man that you think would be a good priest, I think you ought to think about it. That would be a very great gift, not only to the man himself, but to the church as well. So, until we see you in our next podcast, I'm happy to say thank you for tuning in to us today, and we look forward to being with you again.
Thank you for listening, and be sure to check out our website at www.psjs.edu. Remember, the first step to answering God's call is making the call. 781-899-5500.